Chapter 6. 1. James Ferret, as agent for Lord Stirling, made grants at Oyster Bay to a company of men from Lynn, who began a settlement there. Stirling had received a grant of Long Island from the Council of New England in April, 1635. In the year 1647, a Scotchman came here, who called himself Captain Forrester, one and claimed this island for the Dowager of Stirling, whose governor he gave himself out to be. He had a commission dated in the 18th year of King James' reign, but it was not signed by His Majesty or anybody else. Appended to it was an old seal which we could not decipher. His commission embraced the whole of Long Island, together with 5 leagues round about it, the mainland as well as the islands. He had also full authority from Mary, Dowager of Stirling, but this was all. Nevertheless, the man was very consequential, and said on his first arrival that he came here to see Governor Stuyvesant's commission, and if that was better than his, he was willing to give way. If not, Governor Stuyvesant must yield to him. To make the matter short, the director took copies of the papers, and sent the man a CROSS2 in the Falconer. But as this vessel put into England, the man did not reach Holland, having escaped there, and never troubling the captain afterwards. The English have since boasted of this very loudly, and have also given out that he had again arrived at Bastok, 3, but we have not heard of him. It is to be apprehended that if he came now, some new act would be committed, for which reason it would be well to hasten the redress of New Netherland. 1. Andrew Forrester, of Dundee. 2. Across the Ocean. 3. Boston. Of the Fresh River. After Fort Good Hope, begun in the year 1623, 1 on the Fresh River, was finished. Some time had elapsed when an English bark arrived there. Jacob Van Curler, factor of the company, by order of Director Wouter Van Twiller, protested against it, but notwithstanding his protest they did, a year or two afterwards, come there with some families. A protest was also made against them, but it was very manifest that these people had little respect for it, for notwithstanding frequent protests, they have finally seized and possessed the whole of the Fresh River, and have proceeded so far in their shameless course as, in the year 1640, to seize the company's farms at the fort, paying no regard to the protests which we made. They have gone even still further, and have belabored the company's people with sticks and heavy clubs, and have forcibly thrown into the river their plows and other instruments, while they were on the land for the purpose of working, and have put their horses to the pound. The same things happened very frequently afterwards. They also took hogs and cows belonging to the fort, and several times sold some of them for the purpose, as they said, of repairing the damage. Against all these acts, and each one in particular, protests were repeatedly made, but they were met with ridicule. Several sharp letters about this were written in Latin to their governors, of which letters and protests, minutes, or copies remain with the company's officers, from which a much fuller account of these transactions could be made. But all opposition was in vain, for having had a smack of the goodness and convenience of this river, and discovered the difference between the land there and that more easterly, they would not go back, nor will they put themselves under the protection of their high mightinesses, unless they be sharply summoned thereto, as it is desirable they should be at the first opportunity. 1. A misprint for 1633. The narrative below relates to the English settlers at Hartford, founded in 1635. Seat of Rise, pages 203, 204, supra. Of the right of the Netherlanders to the Fresh River. To speak from the beginning, our people had carefully explored and discovered the most northerly parts of New Netherland, and some distance on the other side of Cape Cod, as we find it described, before the English were known here, and had set up our arms upon Cape Cod as an act of possession. In the year 1614, our traders one had not only traded at the Fresh River, but had also ascended it before any English had ever dreamed of going there, which they did first in the year 1636, after our fort, the Good Hope, had been a long time in S, and almost all the lands on both sides the river had been purchased by our people from the Indians, which purchase took place principally in the year 1632. Kivitz HOECK2 was also purchased at the same time by one Hans Stenslies, three an officer of the company. On this cape the state's arms had been affixed to a tree in token of possession, but the English who now possess the Fresh River have torn them down, and carved a ridiculous face in their place. Whether this was done by authority or not, cannot be positively asserted. It is however supposed that it was. It has been so charged upon them in several letters, and no denial has been made. Besides they have, contra jus gentium, per fas et nefas, for invaded the whole river, for the reason, as they say, that the ill, and was lying idle and waste, which was no business of theirs and not true, for there was already built upon the river a fort which continued to be possessed by a garrison. There was also a large FARM5 near the fort, belonging to the Dutch or the company. Most of the ill, and was bought and appropriated, and the arms of their high mightinesses were set up at Kivitz Heek, which is situated at the mouth of the river, so that everything was done that could be done, except that the country was not all actually occupied. This the English demanded in addition, just as if it were their right, since they were in greater numbers, to establish laws for our nation in its own purchased lands and limits, and direct how and in what manner it should introduce people into the country, and if it did not turn out exactly according to their desire and pleasure, that they have the right to invade, and appropriate these waters, lands and jurisdiction to themselves. 1 Adrian Block. 2 Saybrook Point. Kiewit, or Kiewit, is the bird pewit. 3 Hans Inklies in the manuscript, according to N. Y.Y. Colonel Doc. I. 287. 4 Contrary to the law of nations, regardless of right or wrong. 5 Browery, in the printed pamphlet, but Bowery in the manuscript. Of the Road and Birch, one by the English called New Haven, and other pluses of less importance. The number of villages established by the English, from New Holland or Cape Cod to Stamford, within the limits of the Netherlanders, is about 30, and they may contain 5,000 men capable of bearing arms. Their cattle, cows and horses are estimated at 30,000. Their goats and hogs cannot be stated. Neither of them can be fully known, because there are several places which cannot well pass for villages, but which nevertheless are beginnings of villages. Among all these, Road and Birch, or New Haven, is the first. It has a governor, contains about 340 families, and is counted as a province, or one of the members of New England, of which there are 4 in all. Less than 2, 1 Red Hill. 2 IEE, of the United Colonies of New England, the Confederation formed in 1643. This place was begun 11 years ago, in the year 1638, and since then the people have broken off and formed Milford, Stratford, Stamford and the trading house before spoken of, etc. Director Kieft has caused several protests to be drawn up, in Latin and in other languages, commanding them by virtue of his commissions from the Lord States General, His Highness the Prince of Orange, and the most noble directors of the Chartered West India Company, to desist from their proceedings and usurpations, and warning them, in case they did not, that we would, as soon as a fit opportunity should present, exact of them satisfaction therefore. But it was knocking at a deaf man's door, as they did not regard these protests, or even take any notice of them. On the contrary, they have sought many subterfuges, circumstances, false pretenses and sophistical arguments, to give color to their doings, to throw a cloud upon our lawful title and valid rights, and to cheat us out of them. General Stuyvesant also has had many questions with them, growing out of this matter, but it remains as it was. The utmost that they have ever been willing to come to is to declare that the dispute could not be settled in this country, and that they desired, and were satisfied, that their high mightinesses should arrange it with their sovereign. It is highly necessary that this should be done, inasmuch as the English have already seized, and are in possession of, almost half of New Netherland, a matter which may have weighty consequences in the future. It is therefore heartily to be desired that their high mightinesses will be pleased to take this subject into serious consideration before it shall go further, and the breach become irreparable. We must now pass to the South River, called by the English Delaware Bay, first speaking of the boundaries. But in passing we cannot omit to say that there has been here, both in the time of Director Kieft and in that of General Stuyvesant, a certain Englishman, who called himself Sir Edward Pleadon, with the title of Earl Palatine of New Albion, who claimed that the land on the west side of the North River to Virginia was his, by gift of King James of England, but he said he did not wish to have any strife with the Dutch, though he was very much piqued at the Swedish governor, John Prince, at the South River, on account of some affront given him, too long too late. He said also that, when an opportunity should offer he would go there, and take possession of the river. In short, according to the claims of the English, it belongs to them, and there is nothing left for the subjects of their high mightinesses. One must have this far, and another that far, but they all agree never to fall short. One Plowden claimed under a patent from the Viceroy of Ireland under Charles I, June, 1634. The history of his shadowy principality of New Albion is best accounted by Professor Gregory B. Keene in Winsor's Narrative and Critical History of America, 3, 457-468. The best account of the Swedish colony in the South River is by the same writer, Ibid. IV. 443-500. Of the South River and the boundaries there. As we have now come to speak of the South River, and the most southerly portion of New Netherland, we will, although this is well performed by others, relate everything from the beginning, and yet as briefly as is practicable. The boundaries, as we find them, extend as far as Cape Henlopen, many miles south of Cape Cornelius, to the latitude of 38 degrees. The coast stretches, one course with another, west-southwest and west, and although this Cape Henlopen is not much esteemed, it is nevertheless proper that it should be brought to our attention, as very important, not only in regard to the position of the country, but also as relates to the trade with the Indians at the South River, which the English and Swedes are striving after very hard, as we will show. If the boundaries of this country were settled, these people would conveniently, and without further question be ousted, and both the enjoyment of the productions of the land, and the trade be retained for the subjects of their high mightinesses. Of the South Bay and South River. The South Bay and South River, by many called the second great river of New Netherland, is situated at the latitude of 38 degrees 53 minutes. It has two headlands or capes, the more northerly bearing the name of Cape May, the more southerly, that of Cape Cornelius. The bay was called Newport May, but at the present time is known as Godden's Bay. These names were given to the places about the time of their first discovery, before any others were given them. The discovery, moreover, took place at the same time with that of the North River, and by the same ship and persons, who entered the South Bay, before they came to the North Bay, as all can read at length in the New World of Johannes de Leet. At the same time that the forts were laid out on the North and Fresh Rivers, since the year 1623, Fort Nassau was erected upon this river, which, in common parlance, is called the South River. It was the first of the four, and was built with the same object and design as all the others, as herein before related. It lies on the east bank, but it would have done as well on the west bank, 15 leagues up the river. The bay runs for the most part north and south, is called Newport May or Godden's Bay, and is 9 leagues long before you come to the river, and 6 leagues wide, so that from one shore you cannot see the other. On account of certain bars, it is somewhat dangerous for inexperienced navigators, but not so for those who are acquainted with the channels. This bay and river are compared by its admirers with the River Amazon, that is, by such of them as have seen both. It is by everyone considered one of the most beautiful, and the best and pleasantest rivers in the world of itself, and as regards its surroundings. 14 streams empty into this river, the least of them navigable for 2 or 3 leagues, and on both sides there are tolerably level lands of great extent. 2 leagues from Cape Cornelius, where you enter on the west side, lies a certain creek, which might be taken for an ordinary river or stream, being navigable far up, and affording a beautiful roadstead for ships of all burdens. There is no other like it in the whole bay for safety and convenience. The main channel for navigation runs close by it, this place we call the Hirkill. From whence this name is derived we do not know. Too, it is certain that this place was taken and colonized by Netherlanders, years before any English or Swedes came there. The state's arms were also set up at this place in copper, but as they were thrown down by some mischievous savages, the commissary there very firmly insisted upon, and demanded, the head of the offender. The Indians, not knowing otherwise, brought a head, saying it was his. And the affair was supposed to be all settled, but some time afterwards, when our people were working unsuspectingly in their fields, the Indians came in the guise of friendship, and distributing themselves among the Dutch in proportionate numbers, surprised and murdered them. By this means the colony was again reduced to nothing, but it was nevertheless sealed with blood and dearly enough bought. One Fort Nassau stood at the mouth of Timber Creek, opposite the present site of Philadelphia. 2 Harlots Creek, from the behavior of the Indian women. The story below is that of the short-lived colony of Swanendel, 1631-1632. There is another kill on the east side called the Varkens Kill, 1-3 leagues up from the mouth of the river. Here some English had settled, but Director Kieft protested against their proceedings, and drove them away, assisted somewhat by the Swedes, who agreed with him to keep out the English. The Swedish governor, considering an opportunity then offered to him, caused a fort to be built at this place, called Olsenburg, too, and manifests their great boldness towards everyone, even as respects the company's boats, or all which go up the South River. They must strike the flag before this fort, none excepted. And 2 men are sent on board, to ascertain from whence the yachts or ships come. It is not much better than exercising the right of search. It will, to all appearance, come to this in the end. What authority these people can have to do this, we know not, nor can we comprehend how officers of other potentates, at least as they say they are, yet what commission they have we do not yet know, can make themselves master of, and assume authority over, lands and goods belonging to and possessed by other people, and sealed with their blood, even without considering the charter. The Mink was KIL3 is the first upon the river, and there the Swedes have built Fort Christina. This place is well situated, as large ships can lie close against the shore to load and unload. There is, among others, a place on the river, called Schuylkill, a convenient and navigable stream, heretofore possessed by the Netherlanders. But how is it now? The Swedes have it almost entirely under their dominion. Then there are in the river several beautiful large islands, and other places which were formerly possessed by the Netherlanders, and which still bear the names given by them. Various other facts also constitute sufficient and abundant proof that the river belongs to the Netherlanders, and not to the Swedes. Their very beginnings are convincing, for 11 years ago, in the year 1638, 1 Minwits, 4 who before that time had had the direction at the Manhattans, on behalf of the West India Company, arrived in the river with the ship Commerce Ludel, Key of Kalmar, and the yacht Vogel Grip Griffin, giving out to the Netherlanders who lived up the river, under the company and Heer van der Nederhurst, that he was on a voyage to the West Indies, and that passing by there, he wished to arrange some matters, and to furnish the ship with water and wood, and would then leave. Some time afterwards, some of our people going again, found the sweet still there, but then they had already made a small garden for raising salads, pot herbs and the like. They wondered at this, and inquired of the sweets what is meant, and whether they intended to stay there. They excused themselves by various reasons and subterfuges, but some notwithstanding supposed that such was their design. The third time it became apparent, from their building a fort, what their intentions were. Director Kieft, when he obtained information of the matter, protested against it, but in vain. It was plainly and clearly to be seen, in the progress of the affair, that they did not intend to leave. It is matter of evidence that above Magchichansi, 5 near the Sankakans, the arms of their high mightinesses were erected by order of Director Kieft, as a symbol that the river, with all the country and the lands around there, were held and owned under their high mightinesses. But what fruits has it produced as yet, other than continued derision and derogation of dignity? For the Swedes, with intolerable insolence, have thrown down the arms, and since they are suffered to remain so, this is looked upon by them, and particularly by their governor, as a Roman achievement. True, we have made several protests, as well against this as other transactions, but they have had as much effect as the flying of a crow overhead. And it is believed that if this governor had a supply of men, there would be more madness in him than there has been in the English, or any of their governors. This much only in regard to the Swedes, since the company's officers will be able to make a more pertinent explanation, as all the documents and papers remain with them, to which, and to their journals we ourselves refer. 1 Hog Creek, now called Salem Creek, where New Haven men settled in 1641 at or near the present site of Salem, New Jersey. 2 Fort Nya Elfsburg, 1643-1654, a little further down the Delaware River. 3 Christina Creek, the fort was in what is now Wilmington, Delaware. 4 Peter Minuit. 5 Apparently within the present bounds of Philadelphia, where Andries Hude, acting under orders from Kieft, purchased land and set up the arms of the States General in September, 1646. The Sankakans occupied northern New Jersey, with an important village at or near Trenton. The English have sought at different times and places to incorporate this river which they say is annexed to their territory, but this has as yet been prevented by different protests. We have also expelled them by force, well knowing that if they once settled there, we should lose the river, or hold it with much difficulty, as they would swarm there in great numbers. There are rumors daily, and it is reported to us, that the English will soon repair there with many families. It is certain that if they do come and nestle down there, they will soon possess it so completely that neither Hollanders nor Swedes, in a short time, will have much to say. At least, we run a chance of losing the whole or the greatest part of the river if very shortly remarkable precaution be not used. And this would be the result of populating the country. But the directors of the company to this day have had no regard to this worth the while, though the subject has been sufficiently brought before them in several documents. They have rather opposed and hindered this. For it has been with this matter, as with the rest, that avarice has blinded wisdom. The report now is that the English intend to build a village and trading house there. And indeed if they begin, there is nobody in this country who, on the company's behalf, can or apparently will, make much effort to prevent them. Not longer ago than last year, several free persons, one some of whom were of our own number, and who had or could have good masters in fatherland, wished to establish a trading house and some farms and plantations, upon condition that certain privileges and exemptions should be extended to them. But this was refused by the general, saying that he could not do it, not having any order or authority from the noble lord's directors. But if they were willing to begin there without privileges, it could in some way be done. and when we represented to His honor that such were offered by our neighbors all around us, if we would only declare ourselves willing to be called members of their government, and that this place ran 1,000 dangers from the Swedes and English, His honor answered that it was well known to be as we said,
as he himself did, in fact, well know,
and that reason was also in our favor, but that the orders which he had from the directors were such that he could not answer for it to them. Now we are ignorant in these matters, but one thing or the other must be true, either it is the fault of the director, or of the managers, two or of both of them. However it may be, one shifts the blame upon the other, and between them both everything goes to ruin. Foreigners enjoy the country and fare very well. They laugh at us too, if we say anything. They enjoy privileges and exemptions, which, if our Netherlanders had enjoyed as they do, would without doubt, next to the help of God, without which we are powerless, have enabled our people to flourish as well, or better than they do. Ergo, the company or their officers have hitherto been and are still the cause of its not faring better with the country. On account of their cupidity and bad management there is not hope, so long as the land is under their government, that it will go on any better, but it will grow worse. However, the right time to treat this subject has not yet come. One person who came to New Netherland, not as colonists under the patroons, or as employees of the West India Company, but on their own account, to i.e., of the Governor Director General of New Netherland, or of the directors of the company, of the situation and goodness of the waters. Having given an account of the situation of the country and its boundaries, and having consequently spoken of the location of the rivers, it will not be foreign to our purpose to add a word as to the goodness and convenience of the waters, which are salt, brackish, or fresh, according to their locality. There are in New Netherland four principal rivers. The most southerly is usually called the South River, and the bay at its entrance, Godden's Bay. It is so called, not because it runs to the south, but because it is the most southerly river in New Netherland. Another which this lies south of or nearest to, and which is the most noted and the best, as regards trade and population, is called Rio Montanges, from certain mountains, and Mauritius River, but generally, the North River, because it reaches farthest north. The third is the East River, so called because it runs east from the Manathans. This is regarded by many not as a river, but as a bay, because it is extremely wide in some places, and connects at both ends with the sea. We however consider it a river, and such it is commonly reckoned. The fourth is called the Fresh River, because the water is for the most part fresh, more so than the others. Besides these rivers, there are many bays, havens and inlets, very convenient and useful, some of which might well be classed among rivers. There are numerous bodies of water inland, some large, others small, besides navigable kills like rivers, and many creeks very advantageous for the purpose of navigating through the country, as the map of New Netherland will prove. There are also various waterfalls and rapid streams, fit to erect mills of all kinds upon for the use of man, and innumerable small rivulets over the whole country, like veins in the body. But they are all fresh water, except some on the seashore,
which are salt and fresh or brackish,
very good both for wild and domestic animals to drink. The surplus waters are lost in the rivers or in the sea. Besides all these there are fountains without number, and springs all through the country, even at places where water would not be expected, as on cliffs and rocks, whence they issue like spring veins. Some of them are worthy of being well guarded, not only because they are all, except in the thickets, very clear and pure, but because many have these properties, that in the winter they smoke from heat, and in summer are so cool, that the hands can hardly be endured in them on account of the cold, not even in the hottest of the summer, which circumstance makes them pleasant for the use of man and beast, who can partake of them without danger. For if any one drink thereof, it does him no harm, although it be very warm weather. Thus much of the proprietorship, location, goodness, and fruitfulness of these provinces, in which particulars, as far as our little experience extends, it need yield to no province in Europe. As to what concerns trade, in which Europe and especially Netherland is preeminent, it not only lies very convenient. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.